This is Rachel Goodman. I'm at the Santa Cruz Civic Auditorium. There's a CAL FIRE representative here. Could you say that again? I'm sorry, I missed it.
For which part?
This is for Bonnie Doon.
Bonnie Doon, you know, we're still working that area right now with the resources that we have right now. As of this morning, 5% containment, but I don't know exactly where that 5% is. But, you know, along with us doing our job, the sheriff and CHP and all the law enforcement agencies out here are also looking for the people trying to take advantage of this situation. And they actually arrested 5 people yesterday for trying to, you know, steal from people that their house did survive when the fire came through. So,
any information on the number of crews right now on this fire? And I heard there was some reinforcements coming from other states.
Our numbers have basically doubled in the last few days. You know, we were about 600 personnel for the first few days of the fire. We're approaching the 1,200 mark for staffing right now. And, you know, engines are coming in daily. And some of the outside state reinforcements that are making their way are just now starting to come in. We put in a request for around 375 engines from other states. And so far, as of yesterday, about 45 had made their way to the state of California.
And I hear a lot of local residents are up there fighting fires themselves and have been for like the past 72 hours. And if people wanted to help get supplies to them, like food and gasoline, how could they hand them over the blockade, or what could they do to help those people? Because they're intent on staying up there. And so is there a way, even though we can't get up there, to like put supplies at the barricade where it's blocked off, or what?
That's the million-dollar question. How can people help? Right now, we appreciate the effort. We defer them to, you know, the shelters and stuff like that. But for the people that pretty much didn't leave when the orders came, they're jeopardizing not only their lives but our lives, because now we have to, instead of focusing on the fire, focus on protecting them when the fire does come. And for the supplies, there's no way to reinforce what they need, because, you know, everything's blocked off and stuff. So we're trying to keep civilian traffic in those areas as minimal as possible. So, you know, trying to, you know, get the people that said, oh no, I'm good where I'm at, they're just jeopardizing multiple lives just because they don't want to leave.
I understand that, but I also feel bad for the people who are up there, you know, risking their lives and thought there might be something to do to help them. Weather outlook for people, like, there we go. Any news about where it's headed now? It's hard to tell from the map for me. Where's the front, like, going? Is it going toward Felton and Boulder Creek east?
So the last few days, the weather for the winds have changed pretty much like clockwork. In the morning, it's blowing more in the northerly direction, pushing the fire to the north. And then in the afternoons, it does pretty much a 180 and starts pushing the fire to the south towards like Scotts Valley and stuff like that because of the winds. Right now, the winds are pretty minimal compared to like when the fire first started. The only issue is they're looking at another thunder cell coming through on Saturday sometime. So those winds Sunday.
Okay.
So we got, within the next 24 to 36 hours, we got another thunder cell coming through, and that could increase those winds again. And stuff that we thought we had under control could get, you know, out of control. And then with a new lightning, it could start new fires and just, you know, make the resources work even harder.
That is not good news, I guess, but let's hope for the best. At least the temperatures are lower, right?
They're cooling off the last few days. They're still in the high 80s, 90s, depending on what location you are on the fire. The coast has been getting some of the marine influence with the fog and stuff like that. but the humidities are still low in the higher elevations and stuff like that. And then wherever the fog is, you know, by mid-morning and stuff, it's already burned off and starting to get those fuels ready to burn again.
It's all about the wind, isn't it, at this point?
Most of it is the weather is a big factor, and where the wind isn't, it's the topography of the terrain.
To me, from this map, it really doesn't look like Santa Cruz is likely to get an order evacuation at this point. Is that your assessment of the situation as far as this giant number of people kind of here at the edge, you know, on the west side?
There's no anticipation of it right now, but a lot depends on what the fire activity is. In the last few days, they've been putting in a fire control line around where the university is to kind of make that line in the sand, saying we don't want it to go past this point. And they made that connection from the 1 all the way to the 9.
Wow.
They just completed it yesterday. And they're going to start a secondary fire break in sense, just in case that first one doesn't hold. We got a second one going in place to help slow down that fire if those winds do come and start pushing the fire to the south, because they are anticipating those winds to start pushing more of the activity to the south end of the fire.
Okay, thank you. What's your name?
Daniel Potter.
Okay, and you're with CAL FIRE?
I'm with CAL FIRE as part of the Public Information Office.
Oh, good. This is for KSQD Radio. I'm Rachel Goodman. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah.